Let us hear together the word of the Lord from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Thus endeth the reading, and thus equipped, let us pray. Almighty God, our Father, we sit in this place known today to thee, but only in shadows do we know ourselves and each other. Wouldst thou increase our knowledge of who thou art and of who we are, so that knowing thee and each other, we might know even as also we are known. In the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I suppose you ought to be reminded that today is October 2nd. You probably haven't looked at your calendars, but that means you are 1 month veteran of this fall semester, because on September 2nd, I believe, we had Convocation Day. So congratulations. You've made it. And if you can make it a month, you can make it a lifetime. So help me. You probably know also that there's a hurricane just off the coast of North Carolina today. That reminds me of a hurricane that hit the nearest to my little hometown as any hurricane has ever hit. Miss Eloise came ashore at Fort Walton Beach, Florida, made her damaging, devastating way up through Geneva County, Alabama, where I grew up, and struck my hometown and spun off 3 tornadoes. Knocking everything and everybody into a sort of daze, and I couldn't get communications with my family, so I flew down there on Thursday last week to find out how things were, and heard of a very interesting bit of commentary on the situation. The hometown of our county seat is Geneva, Alabama, and outside the town of Geneva there is a radio station, WGEA Geneva. It was accused once of going on the air with its full force of 1,000 watts with "Hello World." I don't really know if it did that or not, but I do know that during the hurricane, WGEA was telling everybody in the county to stay tuned for the latest update on the weather situation and what to do in case of emergency. Stay tuned to WGEA. Wouldn't you know it? The first flush of Eloise winds in Geneva toppled WGEA's tower and she went off the air. Now, that is not the case with Robert Theodore Handy. He has stood the times and tides and winds of many a year of theological currents of this's and that's. And I think you're lucky and we're fortunate to have him lead in worship today. He doesn't go off the air when the first winds reach him. He stood tall as a church historian of renown and just may be amongst the very top church historians in the land. And of course, we're delighted that he happens to be Baptist. He is now the professor of church history at Union Theological Seminary in New York City. His particular area of interest is the church in America, with particular attention to the problems of church and society in the last 100 years. Dr. Handy was born in Rockville, Connecticut. He graduated with a Bachelor of Arts degree from Brown University in Rhode Island, and in 1943 was awarded the Bachelor of Divinity degree from Colgate Rochester Divinity School, New York. He's a member of Phi Beta Kappa. He's an ordained Baptist minister. He served both as a chaplain and as a pastor during his years before he returned to Chicago Divinity School, and in 1949 was graduated with a PhD from the University of Chicago Divinity School. Then after a bit of time as an instructor in humanities and chairman of the Division of Humanities at Francis Schirmer College in Mount Carroll, Illinois, and on the summer faculty at Garrett Bible Institute, he then in 1950 went to join the faculty at Union. And all of you who know the Union faculty for the last quarter of a century during the time he has been there would know that it has stood at the very top of the list as far as theological faculties have gone. He served that faculty as its dean for the academic year 70-71 and is presently dean of the graduate school dean of graduate studies in Union. Dr. Handy is among those listed in Who's Who in America and Who's Who in American Education. His books are numerous. Among them, We Witness Together, A History of Cooperative Home Missions, a two-volume work on American Christianity, A Christian America, Protestant Hope and Historical Realities. He edited The Social Gospel in America in 1966 and Religion in the American Experience, The Pluralistic Style in 1972, and co-edited Theology and Church in Times of Change in 1970. We have here today to lead us in worship not only a teacher, but a pastor and a chaplain. He speaks at conventions and meetings relative to all these ministries all over this land and all over this world. In 1955, he was honored as Divinity School Man of the Year by the Baptist Theological Union. At that time, they said of him, quote, "He has demonstrated outstanding ability as an interpreter of the Christian tradition and its relevance for contemporary life." Dr. Handy is a member of the General Board of the American Baptist Churches and President of the American Baptist Historical Society. He serves now on the Commission of Cooperative Christianity, the Baptist World Alliance. I say, Dr. Handy, we're delighted you're here. We will respond to your leadership gladly. And after the anthem, you will lead us in worship.
Thank you very much, President Lally, for those kind words of welcome. It's a joy for me to be back in this chapel, which has a good many warm associations for me through the years. No one who reads the popular literature of our time, fictional and non-fictional alike, can doubt that popular thought, conventional wisdom, radically separates joy from sorrow, gladness from suffering, happiness from affliction, rejoicing from grief. Those pairs of things are regarded as opposites, as alternatives. The one somehow excludes the other. A phrase we often hear is the pursuit of happiness, a phrase that as we come on to the bicentennial year is being repeated many times. In the way that is developed in the conventional wisdom of our time is that it is somehow the opposite of sorrow, pain, affliction, of grief, that one finds the sought-for happiness, the desired joy, by escaping from or by covering up its opposite, pain, of woe, of trouble. And then as one lives life and discovers that pain and sorrow do come, in the popular mind, then joy is no longer possible. And the reason that life comes to seem so empty, so cheerless, so desperate for many people is because the recognition that life is filled with its quota of troubles and sorrow and pain somehow means that the stock of joy, of happiness, is diminished. And I think one reason why there is such a desperate search for happiness in our time is because of this brittleness, awareness that if the other comes into one's life, then somehow one cannot ever again know true happiness. Phrases that one runs across in novels, in popular songs, are like the tip of an iceberg revealing this depth underneath of how these realities are separated in our popular literature. Phrase in a novel, person says, "I'll never laugh again," after a sorrow has crossed one's life's path. Or the popular song of some years ago, "I'll never smile again." Now, at one level, we can understand that. When a grief comes, the sense of desolation seems, for the moment, to leave life empty. Now, Christian faith moves strongly and strikingly against the prevailing mood which separates joy from sorrow, gladness from suffering, happiness from affliction. When the New Testament speaks of joy, and go through it sometime with this in mind, and I think you'll be surprised as I was. When the New Testament speaks of joy, it often does it in the same paragraph, often even in the same verse that it mentions suffering and affliction and strife and pain and, yes, death too. In the biblical contexts, joy and happiness can be real not only when its opposites are put aside or escaped, but in the very midst of them, even as they are being endured. The cross of Christ, the shadow of which we gather for worship, has forever nailed together joy and sorrow, gladness and suffering, happiness and trouble. as the letter to the Hebrews sums it, Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Or the letter of James boldly begins with the words, "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you meet various trials." Or the Apostle Paul sums up a major theme that runs through so much of his work in saying, "With all our affliction, I am overjoyed." Or that story in Acts chapter 13, when Paul and Barnabas have met with terrible persecution and have been banished from Antioch. That passage closes with the words, "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." Because of what Christ was, said, and did, through which we know God's love, true joy can well in us even in the blackest moments of fear and anxiety. Even then, the spring of joy can be inexhaustible. And so, Christian faith calls us, in a sense, to resist, to move against this conventional wisdom of our time. And we are called upon as Christians to be receptive to joy, even as we deal as we must in life, even as we deal with the inevitable anxieties and tensions, even as we taste of the sorrows that mortals must know. Even then, Christian faith keeps together these things which the world so easily separates. Now, if Christian faith promises us the gift of joy in the midst of struggle, even as we must endure pain, so Christian faith presents to us as an opportunity this equation in reverse, that true joy may not come apart from struggle and tension and challenge. All of us know that, as Galatians puts it, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, is love, joy, peace, patience, so on. And yet, if we open our lives to the Holy Spirit, the first impact may be that of disturbance, of change, of the necessity to rethink what we have been doing and to put our thoughts and our hands to something else. As William Temple put it many years ago, "How dread a companion and guide is this comforter." For the Spirit shakes us out of our complacency, forces us to take stock, sometime to make painful decisions. And F.W. Dillastone, commenting on those words from William Temple, "How dread a companion and guide is this comforter," Dillastone comments that we may be distressed about some special fault. We ask the Spirit's aid in helping us to overcome that. Whereupon, if we listen, whereupon the Spirit tells us that our real trouble may be in our self-complacency, in our self-reliance, and if it is the Spirit's help we seek, first we will be roused from these, oftentimes at the cost of inner turmoil and struggle. To know Christ is to share in the fellowship of his sufferings as well as in the power of his resurrection. A commentary on that passage in 1 Peter. "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal. Life brings those moments to us. Do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal, but rejoice. Insofar as you share in Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. The poet Blake caught the New Testament tension those centuries ago when he wrote in poetic form, "Joy and woe are woven fine, a clothing for the soul." Divine, under every grief and pine, runs a cord with silken twine. It is right it should be so. Man is made for joy and woe. Christian faith allows us to live in a somber world of strife and tragedy, a world that brings its slights, its ordeals. It allows us to live in that world with joy. It also dares to send us into a world of strife and of suffering, because the joy it affords us is an unshakable joy that can move even in the midst of those difficulties. Christian faith not only allows us to live in a somber world with a joyful spirit, it also dares to send us into the strife and the suffering, because it knows that the joy it gives is one that is from an inexhaustible source. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little time you may have to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, which, though imperishable, is tested by fire, may redound to the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Without having seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with unutterable and exalted joy. Let us all pray. Grant us, Almighty God, your peace that passes understanding, that amid the storms and troubles of this our life, we may rest in you, knowing that all things are in you, not beneath your eye only, but under your care and governed by your will, guarded by your love, so that with a quiet heart we may meet the storms of life, the cloud, the thick darkness, and the fiery ordeal, rejoicing to know that the darkness and the light are both alike to you. Guide, guard, and govern us this day through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.